What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and man, do we have a fun show for you today. I mean, Will Dawkins, whether you want to call it a masterclass, a fleecing, domination, whatever you want to call it, he absolutely cooked on the last day of the deadline. I had a pod out last night that was, you know, congratulating Will Dawkins for a really great day, trading Kyle Kuzma, trading Jonas Valanciunas, getting back young talent, draft capital, the Wizards winning their third straight, Bilal with a triple-double, and you thought last night was when it would peak. But boy, was I wrong, boy, were Wizards wrong, because today, they, I don't even know if they did better, but they cooked again. I didn't think they could cook even more, but they did. We're going to get to all of the moves and my instant reaction to them. If you're looking for my reaction analysis on Kyle Kuzma trade, on the Valanciunas trade from yesterday, on my reaction to the win against Brooklyn, go check out my previous podcast if you want before this one, because I break it all down in about 35 minutes. But going into today, because that's kind of what we're going to talk about, the Wizards started again with another early morning trade. The Kuz trade broke at around like 9:30, 10 on Wednesday. About what, like 10 o'clock, 10:15 today, Thursday, the Wizards, traded Jared Butler to the Philadelphia 76ers. And here's the full trade in case you missed it. The Washington Wizards traded Jared Butler and 4 second-round picks to the Philadelphia 76ers in exchange for Reggie Jackson and a 2026 first-round pick. Now, since that move, it is important to note the Wizards have waived Reggie Jackson. It was reported from Josh Robbins that Washington was looking to at least find another trade partner. They couldn't. They decided to waive him. He was making $2.1 million. And so he is no longer with the Wizards. The Wizards traded 4 second-round picks, 3 of which were not their own, and 1 of which was in 2030. And in exchange, got back a 2026 first-round pick, which is essentially, if I can pull it up real quick, the worst of Philadelphia's picks between a couple of teams. It's like, okay, I think OKC, Houston, and the Los Angeles Clippers. Whatever in 2026 is the worst of those three first-round picks, that is what Philly will get and will obviously send to Washington at that time. So obviously that, you know, Houston, OKC, really good teams. The Clippers are lurking right now. In 2026 next year, like that's probably going to be a bottom four at least pick in the first round. So anywhere between, what, 27 to 30. And people might say, well, that's a steep price to pay for second-round picks. But I disagree. I mean, you're moving up in the draft. The second round, for all the people that are saying, why do you acquire so many? This is why. It takes a lot to move up. I mean, the Wizards had to trade their first-round pick and a second-round pick to move up 2 spots that last year. When they wanted Bilal, they traded their first and 2 seconds to move up 1 spot, basically, to take Bilal. It takes a lot of second-round picks to do so. They have a bevy of them. Before the trade, they had 18 second-round picks. You might as well consolidate them and try to get higher in the draft because you don't need all of these players that you're picking. You already have 5 first-round picks from the last draft. So what you're essentially doing is saying, hey, yeah, I could draft 4 guys in the second round. They're probably all not going to work out, or I can move myself to the bottom of the first round, and maybe I can see if I can get somebody there. So I like the trade. It's another first-rounder that they pick up. Basically, for free. I mean, Jared Butler, you know, solid player. You guys know how much I like him and thought he should play, but he didn't play a lot. It's clear that this organization on the coaching staff, they didn't see a future for him here, and they opted to move him. And so that's kind of where we are. Butler was on a 2-way deal, so that opens up another spot, by the way, as does the trade of Patrick Warren Jr., I think, on a 2-way spot. I'm pretty sure. Nonetheless, they have an open 2-way spot, and we'll see if that gets filled. But I would give this trade an A minus. I think it's a really good trade, one of the best ones they made. Obviously, 4 second-round picks is a lot of second-round picks, and it being a bottom, basically 3 to 4 pick in the first round, that obviously isn't as great as an unprotected first-round pick or even a top 10 protected first-round pick would have. But nonetheless, they're going to get a first-round pick in 2026. Their pick is not going to convey, I'll say this one more time, I've said it all the time, their pick will not convey, obviously, this year to New York. It's top 10 protected. Next year is top 8 protected. And look, I know they've gone, you know, better with these moves, and they've set themselves up for a good future. But again, I do not think the top 8 protected pick will convey. that'll turn into 2 second-round picks, meaning that in 2025, they'll now have 2 first-round picks, and in 2026, they'll now have 2 first-round picks, which would, as my guy Bijan Todd tweeted out, make it 9 first-round picks from 2023 till 2026. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable to have 9 first-round picks through 4 drafts. And so, obviously, you know, I think this is a good trade, consolidating those seconds to move up. For all the people that are saying, you know, why are you getting all these second-round picks? Like, you need first-round picks to build. You got one from the second-round picks. Sometimes you got to, you know, get the seconds to get the first, because you don't have a guy like Paul George to trade for SGA and a bevy of first. You don't have Kevin Durant like the Nets did to trade for all those first. You don't have that luxury because you had disgruntled assets and Beal and Porzingis and all of that. And so you look at what Dawkins and Winger have kind of done with it, and you sit back and you say, good on you, because you've been doing as much as you can. So that was a great move. Obviously, I said Reggie Jackson gets waived, opens up another roster spot, and they already waived Sidy Cissoko from the earlier trade with Sacramento. So now they have 2 open roster spots at the moment. And you thought maybe they'd fill them with some other guys like Jalen Noel or Champagne, but they made a bigger trade. They made, at the buzzer of the deadline, Marcus Smart gets dealt, and I see the Shams notification. I see it's the Wizards, and my instant reaction is that's a $20 million contract. They just got another first, didn't they? And I was right. Another great, great trade from Will Dawkins, and obviously Smart's making $20 million plus, I think $21 million this year, $21.5 million cap hit the following year. You got a guy like Chris Middleton that's probably going to pick up his $34 million player option next year. And you sit back and say, why are the Wizards doing this? They don't want these old guys, these veterans, on big deals. I get that, but basically the Wizards got paid to take on Marcus Smart and his contract. That's what Memphis wanted to get out of this trade. They didn't want to pay him, especially for next year. And so they dumped that salary off for expiring deals from the Wizards, and the Wizards in turn got him back. And even if that was just the case and it was just Smart, that would be ideal. But they got more. This is the full trade, and there could be more. Again, I'm recording this at 4:52, but this is the full trade right now. The Washington Wizards received Marcus Smart, Colby Jones, Alex Len, and a 2025 first-round pick for Marvin Bagley and Johnny Davis. You did not hear that incorrectly. They got all that for just Marvin Bagley, who's been out for a month plus with a knee sprain and really didn't contribute much other than that, and for Johnny Davis, who they tried to trade in the offseason as an expiring deal, could not find any partners. Obviously, he barely played for the Wizards, was basically a Patrick Baldwin Jr. level. If Johnny Davis is in the game, the Wizards are waving the white flag, essentially. And so Johnny Davis is his, bumpy road in Washington is done. And more on that in a second. But you look at Will Dawkins and what he did here. The Wizards essentially took on a really bad contract in Marcus Smart, another contract in Alex Len, who I don't know if he's expiring, but I can check on that in a second, and got Colby Jones. 35th pick 2 years ago, I'm pretty sure. I looked it up real quick, but I know my guy Matt Moderno had a lottery grade on him. I know I had a top 20 grade on Colby Jones, out of point guard out of Xavier. Really liked what he did in college. Was kind of buried on the Kings bench, and Washington basically gets him for free. I mean, they did. They got him for free. I'm still looking up to see where he got drafted. I think it was the 35th pick. 34th overall by Charlotte in the 2023 draft. He's a guy that I think can develop, basically is a replacement for Jared Butler at the moment, because you waive Reggie Jackson. And you basically get him and a 2025 first-round pick. And it seems like I haven't seen what the protections are now on that first-round pick, but it might be unprotected. I feel like if it was protected, we probably would have known the protections at this point an hour plus after that move. But we don't. So if that's unprotected, that would be an unbelievable trade for the Wizards. Would give them two first-round picks in 2025 draft. And really, all that for giving up Johnny Davis and Marvin Bagley so the Grizzlies could have expiring salaries. This is exactly what you need to do when you are rebuilding. When you're working in the margins, like Will Dawkins is, you really didn't inherit the greatest roster and the greatest bevy of tradable assets to bring back picks. You have to slowly work your way through it. If you forget, the Wizards got Marvin Bagley a year ago, pretty much, for Danilo Gallinari, Mike Muscala. Those two guys, and in turn, the Wizards not only got Bagley and Livers, but they got 2 second-round picks as well to take on his contract. And a year later, they take him and a disgruntled asset in Johnny Davis, who was never going to work out in DC, and flipped it to acquire a really good young player in Jones, a 2025 first-round pick, and two guys, Alex Len, Marcus Smart, as salary fillers that they obviously can afford to pay because they're not looking to compete this year or next year. I mean, this is a fleece. This is a masterclass. When you look at it from Memphis's perspective, they basically were a part of that Tyus Jones, Kristaps Porzingis trade, and they paid Boston two first-round picks to get Smart, and now they're also paying another first-round pick to get off of Marcus Smart. That is really bad for Memphis. Really, really good trade from Brad Stevens in Boston, but a terrific trade now for the Washington Wizards. It's exactly what you need to do when you're rebuilding, bringing back picks, taking on bad contracts at that, but at the same time, you're not really trying to win. You have the cap space. You're still, I think they're $1.5 million below the tax, I'm pretty sure. So really good stuff from Washington. Will Dawkins, just so smart, so calculated. Shout out to him because he's been getting so much praise on the timeline, and it is so deserved because let me tell you right now, he went off. It looked a little murky at last year's deadline because you didn't trade Tyus Jones. You overplayed your hand there. You didn't trade Landry Shamet, overplayed your hand there. And the worst of all, new reporting comes out today from Brian Windhorst that says Washington had a deal in place at last year's deadline to send Kyle Kuzma to Dallas for two first-round picks. I would assume they would be unprotected, but even at that, you look at what they got in return for Kuz, didn't even get a first-round pick, basically got salary filler, a pick swap, and a promising young player. Obviously, the two first-round picks is a way better package, and they should have done that. But nonetheless, you turn it around, and clearly that was a learning curve. First-year GM, first time at the deadline, probably was outclassed and outsmarted, and that happens. But you see after he has a year and after he has a deadline under his belt, this is what he does, okay? Embrace yourself because this is a haul right here. This is the outgoing and incoming players that the Wizards got at the deadline. Out. Kyle Kuzma, Jonas Valanciunas, Patrick Baldwin Jr., Jared Butler, Marvin Bagley III, Johnny Davis, and 5 second-round picks. In. Coming to the Wizards. Chris Middleton, AJ Johnson, Marcus Smart, Colby Jones, Alex Len, a 2025 first-round pick via Memphis, a 2026 first-round pick via the Sixers, and there's protections we discussed on that, a 2028 pick swap via Milwaukee, and 2 second-round picks via Sacramento. That is a haul. And you can argue, Johnny Davis barely played for the Wizards. Bagley didn't play for the Wizards for the most part and has been hurt for a while. Jared Butler was very solid but barely played for the Wizards. Patrick Baldwin Jr., barely played for the Wizards. Jonas Valanciunas was very solid this year and started some games. Obviously, you have Kyle Kuzma, who was, the second highest paid player on the team. Obviously, he had the most usage on the team, but was having a really bad season. His worst year since his last season in LA. And you have a 32-year-old in Valanciunas that clearly wasn't going to be here for the long haul. And the Wizards flipped all of that, plus 5 second-round picks, which they started the trade deadline with about 20. They had so many. All of that, and you get Chris Middleton, who obviously is on the downward trajectory and making $34 million next year, but still a really solid player when he's healthy and a good veteran for the forwards and the young guys to learn from. Marcus Smart, same boat as Chris Middleton, owed $21.5 million next year. They could try to flip him. They could also try to buy him out, but, nonetheless, another good player. Guys like Bilal Coulibaly, Bob Carrington, it's a great vet. Marcus Smart is one of the hardest playing players. Whether you like him or you don't, he plays hard. He plays, really good basketball at times, especially on the defensive end. He's a reigning defensive player of the year. Another great guy for Bob Carrington to learn from. Colby Jones, really good young player, still in the early stages of his career, just year three, I believe. And someone that the Wizards can develop. AJ Johnson, 20 years old, a pick from, the 23rd pick just a year ago in the 2024 draft, has a bevy, so much upside, but obviously he's really raw and has a long way to go. Alex Len, salary filler, former Wizard, was honestly good on that the last time the Wizards made the playoffs in 2021, lost 4-1 to the Sixers, but Alex Len was a body down low, and now I don't think he has a future here, obviously, but you'll see. Maybe they buy him out. Maybe they flip him. Who knows? They got a 2025 first-round pick from Memphis to basically take on Marcus Smart's salary, a 2026 first-round pick to basically take on Reggie Jackson's salary, get Philly under the luxury tax, and also give them Jared Butler, a 2028 pick swap via Milwaukee that, you know, let's be real, probably won't be getting used, but it's still an option at that point. You give yourself optionality there in the case that you do want to use it, and 2 second-round picks. So with the second-round picks, you send 5 out, but you bring 2 back. It's basically you acquired 2 first-round picks and a pick swap, and you lost 3 second-round picks. I think that's a pretty good haul when you're looking at just purely draft capital. And so, look, all things considered, I didn't think this deadline would be this good. I thought Will Dawkins had kind of set himself up with the front office up to really have a good deadline, especially with how well Valanciunas had been playing. Kuz, even the last couple of games down season, but had picked up his play. And now you look at it and what he, you know, inherited, what he had just 2 days ago and what he's turned that into. I mean, that's like Wilt numbers on the scale of GMs. I don't know. And I don't want to be biased here or just, you know, forward thinking, but I don't know who's had a better deadline than the Wizards. I mean, you could very much argue the Lakers. I mean, getting Luka Doncic is kind of unfair. Mark Williams as well. I thought that was a solid trade for them if he can stay healthy. But apart from them, the team that basically got handed Luka Doncic, I don't think you can argue a team that had a better deadline than Washington. So shout out Will Dawkins. He was phenomenal. Really smart, calculated moves on the margins. You know, finding ways to turn second-round picks that you acquired yourself into first-round picks. Looking at ways to, you know, trade veterans like Kuz and Valanciunas for young guys and picks and stuff like that. I'm really happy with how the Wizards did. Wizards fans clearly are. I mean, my mentions are going crazy with people that are literally just saying how happy they are. If you listened to Spaces last night, you know how happy fans are. But nonetheless, I mean, they were, you know, Wizards fans were coming in optimistic at this deadline, but cautiously optimistic because of what happened last deadline, where they didn't do what they should have. They didn't get the players or the picks that they should have, trade the players they should have. But this year's deadline is a 180. You look at it, I had a lot of people asking me now, like, Greg, what's the outlook of picks? What's the Wizards stockpile of picks through 2031? Now, this is coming from a communications major, and I haven't even graduated college yet, so bear with me because obviously I'm not that great at math. But by my count, through 2031, the Wizards have 11 first-round picks, 12 second-round picks, and 3 pick swaps. Two of the pick swaps are from Phoenix still in 26 and 28, and you obviously just got the Bucks pick swap in 28. The Wizards have 14 actual second-round picks and 10, I believe technically 10 first-round picks. But based on my calculations, the Knicks pick that the Wizards owe top 10 protections on this year, top 8 the following year, I don't think that's going to be anything. I think it's going to eventually convey after 2026 to 2 seconds, one in 26, one in 27, hence why it took away 2 second-round picks and added a first-round pick. Because the Wizards are obviously going to be in the bottom 10 of the draft this year, and obviously going to be, or I guess, top 10 of the draft. And then the top 8 of the draft the next year, I don't think they're going to improve that much to where they are outside the top 8 of the draft unless they get really unlucky and have a really good season compared to what people believe they will be. But at the end of the day, like, that's 23 picks, 3 pick swaps across 7 drafts. And that's on top of already having 5 first-round picks from the previous 2 drafts on your roster already. I mean, talk about a masterclass. Talk about the exact way that you look to, you know, work on the margins and figure out ways to build a team when you don't necessarily inherit the greatest roster, the greatest team, the greatest group of assets, and see what it's been turned into. It's nice. Wizards fans are ecstatic. I would be if I was them as well. You know, looking at what you did, this is exactly what rebuilding teams want. You work on the margins, you acquire second-round picks if that's what you can get, but then turn them into first-round picks. You know, you acquire Kyle Kuzma all those years ago. Valanciunas signed basically for free in this offseason and flip him, you know, in a couple of months for 2 second-round picks. Just Rondo Dawson and Kuzma get back a 20-year-old A.J. Johnson and Middleton. You know, I could talk about this for days, but based on the trades today, I give the Marcus Smart trade an A+. I thought that was unbelievable work from Dawkins. I'd give the Butler trade an A-. I would give, I mean, I don't want to grade the Kuzma trade because I think most Wizards fans are just happy that he's out of D.C. And the Valanciunas trade, I give a solid A. Like, I thought, you know, them trading him now didn't necessarily have to happen, but I thought it was the right move at the time. Get back 2 second round picks and Sissoko, who you waive, but all things said and done, like this is an A plus trade deadline. This is exactly what the Wizards needed to do. They didn't do it last year. Will Dawkins clearly learned from his mistakes and did it this year. Absolutely, you know, impressive. Wizards fans should be really excited, really happy about the moves today. I'm going to keep this one short. I just wanted to give an update on my thoughts. A lot of people were like, Greg, emergency pod. You are right. I know I needed to do one because there was a lot that went on today. A lot of moving parts. Still to be known is obviously that first round pick from Memphis. I don't know if it's protected or not. My best guess as of right now is no. But nonetheless, that's still to be determined. Malcolm Brogdon stays. I'm fine with that. Was going to be hard to trade his $22 million salary anyway. Will be a great veteran for Bob Carrington. Bilal Koulibaly, he's been really well-liked, really good hard worker. I'm fine with keeping him. It's an expiring deal, so he won't be back next year probably. But nonetheless, A-plus deadline from Will Dawkins and the Wizards. Absolutely cooked. I will be doing a Twitter Spaces in about an hour if you're listening to this. On the Bullets Forever playback and on my Twitter. So be in tune for that. And probably another pod later down the line when everything is kind of settled and you know, concrete from the trade deadline. But that's going to do it for this episode. As always, thank you guys for listening. Go Wiz.